The thought that came to me is time and eternity. You know, life just kind of gets into a pattern, into a routine. And I had in the past, I don't know how many of you have ever had hamsters for your children, but I've had one before, and at night you'll hear them in there running on that wheel. And maybe it needs oil, and you can hear it squeak, squeak, squeak. Run all night long. Next morning they're wore out, they're laid out, sound asleep. But next night they're going to do it again. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, that's a whole lot like me. I'm just going through life. I work today, I go home, I eat, I sleep, I get up, go back to work again. And sometimes I think the Lord would like for me, for all of us, to just kind of hit the pause button on life for a little bit and back off and look at the big picture. The big picture is more than tomorrow. I plan to go back to work again, and what I plan to do next week and on out there. So I want us to take a look today at time and eternity. And looking at where, sometimes when I look at it, I think the time was the beginning of all things. When did that begin? If we looked over in Genesis, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, the first verse in the Bible. And then he said, let there be light. And he said at that time he divided the night from the day, and time began to be measured. And from that point, we start seeing, here's how many years has passed by. We look out in the world at what the world is looking at. When you leave God out of something, you start coming up with your own ideas. You know, with them, they will talk about the earth as millions of years old, and it came to pass with a big bang. And I've thought about that. I know in my heart how it came about. God spoke. Now, whether there was noise from it or whatever, it doesn't tell me. So I just know he spoke, and it all came into existence. I think of a very simple, you know, it's very simple for the Christian. It's found in Hebrews 11 and 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. I don't have to be able to scientifically explain how it all happened. Through faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the Word of God. He spoke it into existence. There's also a verse in Romans 3 and 3 through 4, because there are many people today that don't believe it could happen that simply. There's got to be something more complicated to it. This one says, what if some don't believe? You know, and if we were to try to explain the creation to other people, maybe they say it could not have happened that way. But what this one says, what if some don't believe? Does their unbelief make our faith in God of none effect? So because people do not believe in how it all came about, does it affect my belief? It says, God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. I like that verse. It just puts it simply. We will find some people that don't believe that it happened that way. But through faith, we still understand that the worlds were framed. But you know what? Through faith, we understand something more than that. And it takes faith to believe it. I believe that something was going on before this world ever came into existence. And I find that over in Isaiah 57 and 15. You know, these are things that we all know. But sometimes it's good for me to stop and rehearse it. 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. And I'd like to stop there. The one that inhabits, he dwells in eternity. Have you ever looked up the definition of eternity? You will find that they are very careful not to mention the word time at all. They say it's a duration, because eternity cannot be measured. Eternity had no beginning, and it will have no end. And you remember over in Jesus' prayer in John 17, he said, Father, would you glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was? That's interesting. That tells me something. Before the world was ever created, Jesus was there with his Father. And it's kind of interesting when God said, let us make man after our image. There's somebody else there with him. Jesus was there from the beginning himself. Through faith, we understand that eternity also exists. No beginning and no ending. In this duration of eternity, God created the heaven and the earth, and we started measuring time. You know, it's so easy for us today to just look at time, and that's how we've always measured it. Seems like we always will. And I thought about Noah. After the flood, when he stepped out of that ark, he probably had a little apprehension of what does the future hold for me? And God gave him some assurance. He said, while the earth remains, there's going to be some things that just go right on. There's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be summer and winter. Day and night are not going to cease. Sometimes we will hear people say, you know what, the climate change, things are going, we're doing things that's going to ruin the environment. We need to realize, you know what, we do need to be careful with what God has given us. But we also realize God is in control of it all. And I'm thankful for that. Time and eternity. We live in time today. We're just maybe a couple months away from a new year. I remember last year, Brother Wright brought me a calendar where in one page you see all 12 months. I have it hanging up at my office at work to where you can see the full year just in one glance. You know, it's real easy for me to take that calendar and I can even say, when is Monarch next year? Okay, I'm going to put down that I'm going to take vacation for Monarch. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Because I live in time, that calendar almost is like it just tells me, okay, you've got a fresh year. You'll get to do whatever you want to do. But there's some things for us to remember. And I'd like to go over and look at it. In James, in the 4th chapter, while this time is passing by, I need to remember something. James 4 and 13, because I find myself doing these same things. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city. We're going to continue there a year. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. You know, we do that, and there's nothing wrong with it. I plan to work next week. I plan to do something the following week or whatever. It says, whereas you know not what's going to be on the morrow, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. And you know, it doesn't end when they bury me in the cemetery. If I really have faith to believe, eternity is out there with a duration. It's not counted in time. When this vapor has vanished away, little time, then it vanishes away. That's the reason I need to be saying, if the Lord wills, I'm going to plan to do this tomorrow. Because so easily things could change for me. And we have an appointment. It's in Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So I look at that, and I make plans for next week, and next year, and 5 years down the road. And all the time, what I need to do sometime is stop and just realize, you know what? I am here for a little bit of time. Should I live for 80 years? That seemed like so long a time. But step over into eternity that cannot be measured by time, and it has no comparison. I'd like for us to look, as we try to get a picture of time to eternity, let's look at Ecclesiastes 12, starting in the first verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And if you look at Ecclesiastes 12, those next few verses tell what starts happening as I start getting older. Things start changing in my body. And then it says in the 5th verse, man is going to go to his long home, and the mourners will go about in the streets. How long? For eternity. I want to be able to get a grasp of that in my mind to realize, you know what, whenever I draw my last breath, I'm going to my long home then, one that will never end. And what I think from that is, I don't think it should bring us a fear, just scared, but a carefulness of how I live, realizing that when I breathe my last, will not be the last of all things. It will be only the beginning. And it goes on down after it says that in 12 and 7, then the dust is going to return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And where is God's dwelling place? In eternity. And I look at the last verses. With that knowledge, how should I be living my life? 13th verse of Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So I want to be able to realize that. You know, right now I think about it. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Next day I'm going to do that. What I am going to do is I'm going to I'm going to dwell in eternity one day. What does it say? Man goes to his long home. I thought about Cheryl. When she died, when Sister Maxine died, when Sister Vicky died, yes, their body is in the cemetery, but their spirit has gone to its long home forever. You know, it makes me realize what a carefulness I want to have about my life. Decisions that I make in my life can determine where I will spend eternity. And I want to walk with a carefulness. There are some places that give us an example, and it causes me to have a seriousness about me. And Luke 12 is one of those examples of someone that made wrong decisions and what it cost them. In the 16th verse, this parable, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know, he never got to do the things that he had planned to do. This was just his thinking. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. All that is just thoughts in his head that's going through his mind and decisions that he's making. He never got to fulfill those. God said to him in the 20th verse, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be that thou hast provided? And this next verse is a warning to me, to all of us. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to realize, you know what? I'm going through this same time. We all will. We make plans for, I want to save up for retirement to where I can live comfortably. But you know what? I don't want to say to my soul, soul, take your ease. Because God's going to say, thou fool. And it's to him, it was this night. You know, we're not going to have 20 more years. That night he went out into eternity. And so it's a warning to me. There's another warning to me. In Luke 16 and 19, we read this one. And I think those are good ones for us to remember. It says in 16 and 19, this one says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Time passes for both of them. They were living in what's measured by time. But that came to an end. Came to pass, the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. What it must have been to have finished out his days of misery here and to make heaven his home at the end of all that. But then it also says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I've got to stop sometimes and remember. You know what? Eternity has two places to it. There's not many. I have so many choices I can make in my life. I can choose. If I don't want to live in Oklahoma, I can sell my place and move to California. If I don't want to work where I work, I can go wherever I want to go. But this one, When it's all said and done, and I breathe my last breath, there's two places, one or the other. And they have been decided by choices that I have made. The number one choice to be able to make heaven is take the price that Jesus paid, repent of my sins. But after that, you know what? It's also still choices that I've made in my life. And I want to walk with a carefulness. What did he say? There is a great gulf fixed between the two, so that one cannot pass to the other. But I thought what a serious thing it was that the rich man was able to see over into the other side of what he had missed. Part of the punishment of that. I want to walk with a carefulness in my life. It also tells us something else. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith we also understand there's coming an end to it all one day. Over in 2 Peter, the third chapter, says, I want to write this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you. I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's what we want to be able to have today, is our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance. The third and fourth verse are saying, in the last days there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. So letting us know on down in the 10th verse, even though there's scoffers that say, don't believe it'll happen. Down in the 10th verse, it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, I need to remember that. There is coming a day when time itself will come to an end. All of these temporal things that I consider valuable today, they'll be gone. I think what it needs to do to me is be able to hold them in the right way. Thankful for them, appreciating them, but to realize one day those things will be gone. At the end of all things, or at my end, either one. And so we see these two instances are an example to me of how to balance my life. So I look at this, the end of time. There's a verse of a song. There are several songwriters that tried to get us to be able to see a little picture of this. Eternity draws near as time moves on. When this earth is going to disappear and I shall have gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown, summoned before the throne, then where shall I go? You know, those bring serious thoughts to me. Choices that I'm making every day, those that draw me closer to the Lord, or those that cause me to drift farther from Him. And it says, from the great judgment seat, then where am I going to go? I want to walk with a carefulness. By faith we understand my end is coming. By faith we also understand the end of all things is coming. I remember Sister Maxine had told us before, she hoped that she would be able to live to see the Lord come back again. Well, you know, the end for her came just the same as if it would have been if the end of all things had come. It was the end for her. I can remember even these songs that we sing, Eternity Draws Near. You know, that's been almost 125 years maybe ago when that song was written. D.O. Teasley, when he wrote the song on eternity, some of those, it was like it could happen tomorrow. You know what? 125 years has passed and it still hasn't. Should that cause me to slack up? Not at all. Because since this was written in 2 Peter, the third chapter, every person that has died since that was prophesied has gone out into eternity. Their end has come and is also going to come. There is a verse there at the beginning of that where it was talking about the rich man with his lands, 12 and 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You know, it's good for me to realize that it's not about how much I can accumulate. It's how carefully I hold it. There are verses that warn me. Should your riches increase, don't set your heart on it. One reason is, what happened with Job? Job is said about Job, he was a perfect and an upright man. He feared God. He turned away from evil. In one day's time, he had lost all of his wealth. But you know what? He had his wealth in balance. I find that because I get to read about it. It says he fell down on the ground. You know, he could have fallen down on the ground kicking his feet. I've lost everything. I'm so mad about it. Those people that stole it. He fell down on the ground and he worshiped God. And he said, I didn't have anything when I came. I won't have anything when I leave. You know, if we can in our mind really live that way, not just have a head knowledge about it, but live my life that way, that you know what, the things that I have today, should I lose them today, God can walk with me throughout the remainder of my life. Let me not become attached to that. I went to driving along one day, I saw a big cemetery. And as I'm approaching it, getting closer to it, I look, and just before the cemetery, right next to it, in the land right next to it, was a mini storage rental. And just somehow the two of those things caused my mind to start thinking, no matter how much wealth I have accumulated, you can leave it here before you go here. You will be able to take, I've thought of this before, you never see a hearse taking a body and pulling a U-Haul trailer. We will take nothing with us. It is certain we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we will take nothing out. So do I live in fear? No, I don't live in fear. I am thankful that the Lord sends along these things to help us to just remember, let me balance life. Let me remember, time is measured. It's measured from when the earth began in Genesis 1. There is coming a place where time will stop and eternity will continue on. I want to walk with a carefulness before me. You remember the sign at Monarch? It's a reminder to us all. It has three questions. I must die, but when? You know, I need to just, as I'm going to work every day, as I'm making plans for next year, getting the calendar next year and making my plans, I'm going to die. What day will it be? I don't know. I remember reading this, I think it's in one of the commentaries. It said that an old instructor was talking to his students about this subject. And he said, you really only need to prepare to leave here one day before you die. Well, that sounds good. Live my life how I want to, and just one day before, get ready. And then they said, how will I know what day that's going to be? He said, you won't. So you go ahead and live your life as if it's the next one is going to be the one where you go out into eternity. For us all, you know, my desire is to live for the Lord. The devil has a plan. His plan for us, maybe it's not even to be falling off into sinful things. You know, really, those two stories that we read about, it didn't say anything about that they cheated. It doesn't say anything about when the ground of the certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That story was not like Ahab with Naboth's vineyard when he stole it from him. He got it by stealing it from someone else. The things that he got came from him doing some hard work, but it was by what he let his heart go out to was the danger. I say for myself, Lord, help me to walk with a carefulness. I must die. What day is it going to be? I must meet God, but how? What will my condition be on that day? I have a part to play in that. I think of the verse over in, what is it, Psalms 139 and 23:24, the prayer that is prayed there. I want to be able to have that prayer prayed to the Lord just in my life every day. What does it say? 23, search me, O God, know my heart. What does it say? I must meet God, but how? So I want him to have done this searching, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, any way that maybe even today it's not wrong, but if it continues that direction, it could cause me to miss heaven. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then the last of those three questions was, I'm going to live in eternity, but where will it be? I want to walk with a carefulness before the Lord. This message is not just for Germany. This is a universal message. As I came back myself and I'm getting back into the routine of work and the things that I do, I say, Lord, help me to always have in my mind, this is temporal. I measure it by time, but I'm going to, by faith, I understand one of these days the end is coming for me. And I will spend eternity. Spend, you can hardly come up with the words for it. I will dwell in eternity forever. I was thinking how much God desires that I get it right. He didn't just say, okay, I saved you. I'll see you at the end and see what you did with it. But he wants to come along and lead and guide us. So this afternoon, what I would like for us to do is take a look at some of the things that God has provided so that I can make it with peace. That was his desire from the very beginning. So here's our three questions. I must die, but when? I'm going to meet God. How? I'm going to live in eternity, but where? By God's help, I can prepare for those things now. I want us to close with a song. It's number 328. And this one is another songwriter that's trying to catch a picture. It says, the first verse says, time onward flows like a river vast, while age on age it is borne to the sea. And down this stream we have come at last to see time end in eternity. Maybe when he wrote this song, he was thinking about the end of all things. We're almost there. It's just a little bit. This is probably almost 125 years old too. But you know what? I can also read this as a picture of my life. And I thought about as I read that, time onward flows like a river vast. When I read about the Niagara Falls and I hear stories about way up that river, that water is flowing so gently and smoothly, but it's moving. You can put in a boat and you can float. Slowly, you can relax and just float along. You don't even have to paddle. But it starts coming to a place where it's getting faster now. It's coming to an end at Niagara Falls. What does this one say? While age on age, it is born to the sea. All the water that has run over Niagara Falls over all these years. And down this stream, we have come at last to see time end in eternity. And then it says, eternity, will you dwell with Christ in eternity? You know, I think about, well, I want the unsaved people to be saved. I want to tell you, I want to be saved. I want to make heaven my home, and the Lord desires it too. He wants us to be able to have an assurance that we're ready to meet him when that time comes. And I think how that comes about is every day me having the prayer in my heart, Lord, search me today. Am I making choices that the choice itself is not wrong today, but give it 10 years down the road and it can lead me away from God? I can't tell those things. I was thinking about when Brother Ben was given a request about a job decision. You know, it's good for us to go to the Lord with job decisions. I can remember years ago when I would be looking for a job, what determined about that job is I would ask, what's your benefits? How much vacation do you give? How much are you paying? And I'd make my decision from that. I have found, you know what? That was a surface decision there because I don't have a clue who works there that I will be coming in contact with. And I find it safe to approach one of those things by saying, Lord, you only know these places. And so I'm asking you to open doors and close doors as I approach these areas. If you see that down the road this is going to be detrimental to me, I ask you to close that door, even if it seems like it's the very best. And I am so thankful that we can have confidence. Just like by faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That same faith can help me to understand God's willing to guide my life step by step if I will let Him. And I like that verse over in, I believe it's in Isaiah, where it says, you'll hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way. When you would turn to the left or when you would turn to the right, by following that and by asking him to lead me, we can move out into eternity forever with the Lord. And there's a part of it that says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it has one more verse after that. Comfort ye one another with these words. I want to make heaven my home. I want to realize, you know what, decisions that I'm making through this life are for eternity. And I want the Lord to guide me.